You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 25. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. Hello, welcome back to Called to Homeschool. This is episode number 25, and today I have a special guest with me, and this is my husband, Rich. Say hello, Rich.
Hello. Nice to meet you all.
So the reason I brought him on here to talk with us today is because he is an expert in teaching kids about sex. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Today's episode is all about how to teach your kids about sex. So a little introduction about him. I'll tell you some things and he can tell you some things. But he's amazing, first of all, but I'm a little biased there. But you guys get to listen to my favorite person talk today, so that's kind of awesome. So Rich is a certified mental health counselor.
I say clinical, that right? Oh, clinical mental health counselor.
I know, I always say it wrong. I know the abbreviation. And why don't you go ahead and tell us?
And a certified sex therapist.
There we go. All right. And a certified sex therapist, yes. So tell them a little bit about the types of clients that you see with that kind of work.
So I work with a variety of different clients, mostly anywhere from teenagers on up to adults. And so I work with both males and females, young adults, just kind of run the gambit. So I get to work with a lot of different people.
What types of topics do you typically cover with being a certified sex therapist?
So we talk a lot about pornography, helping people who may want to give up pornography in their lives. I work a lot with couples who are wanting to improve their sexual relations and have sexual dysfunctions. I also work a lot with young adults who maybe because of sexuality are experiencing different types of emotions. Sometimes they're just feeling like their behavior is out of control, or they want to change their behavior, or it affects their self-worth in certain ways. And so really, it's a broad range, and I get to see a lot of different things, and it's amazing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that he's willing to tackle this hard subject, because there's not a lot of people that are comfortable with it and brave enough to do that, and he does such a good job with it, and it's really needed in this day and age. So what does this have to do with homeschooling? Let me tie this in a little bit for you. I know a huge reason a lot of people choose to homeschool is because of the types of education that kids are getting in the school system these days. And one of those things that's being pushed in the school system now is a sex education program. A lot of those programs do not align with values that I have, and I know many other Christians and other people around this country do not believe in the values that are being taught in those school programs. And so that is often one reason people pull their kids out of school, because they don't want that type of influence on their children. So because of that, we have this amazing opportunity to be the main source of information for our children on this subject. And I think that that's really important for kids and for us as parents to understand that responsibility.
Yeah, I remember being in grad school and in human development classes, and actually had to do a debate on different areas of sex education. And, you know, one of the things, the ideas that really stuck out to me was that really parents should be the primary source of information about sexuality for their children. As you look into the different types of things that are taught through sex education, you know, some of them are great, some of them are lacking. And that goes from both sides, whether it's the abstinence-only or abstinence-based sexuality education, or whether it's other pushes for a more comprehensive sex education. There's just so much there that may not align with your values. And so I think it's really important to, as parents, be the first line of sex education and be the ones to teach values and educate our children in a way that would align with the values that we have.
Definitely. Yeah. So I know a lot of parents, myself included, are uncomfortable with this topic. He's taught me a lot and made me a lot braver in tackling these subjects, but most often I just send the kids to him when they have questions, because, you know, he's the expert. But so I think it's really important to teach parents how to approach this with their children and ways to teach parents to be comfortable with this and what we can do there. So let's start first though with what types of messages do we receive about sexuality in our society?
Oh, let me throw that question back at you. What kind of messages do you see regarding sexuality?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think a lot of the messages come from the media, television especially, the shows that we watch. I would say most people on there are not married and having sex, or the ones that are married are unhappy with their sex life. And you see just, it kind of runs the whole spectrum. You have, you know, homosexuality going on television that is just fine. You have all kinds of messages going on, right?
Yeah, there's a lot out there. And I think if we even move past television, if you just read the news, go mm-hmm. to an app with the news or whatever, and look at the messages about sexuality. Overwhelmingly, they're negative messages. We see things about sexual assaults. We see things about child pornography. I recently just read about how a porn site wants to buy the Miami Heat stadium, the stadium that the Miami Heat play in, and have that be part of their advertisement.
Wow.
So we're seeing sexuality, you know, it's pretty pervasive. And if you look at it, a lot of times it's overwhelmingly negative in the messages that it sends.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how do we start our dialogue with our kids?
How do we start the dialogue with our kids? I think before you even begin to have the dialogue with your kids, you need to have the dialogue with each other and with yourself. Mm-hmm. It's really important to start by identifying what your values are sexually. Whether you're, you know, in a similar community or a faith-based group or whatever it is, you may have different values sexually than those of your neighbors and those around you. And so it is really important to ask yourself, you know, what are your feelings about sexuality? You know, when do you want your children to be sexual? What do you want to teach them? What is appropriate sexual behavior at what ages? And what is something that wouldn't necessarily align with your values? And so really this idea of looking inward and just saying, all right, what are the values that I want to convey about sexuality to my children? So that's really the first thing to learn. And, you know, I wish there was a really great, you know, assessment or something like that to help. I'm not aware of one. It really is just, I think, a discussion, you know, as a couple or, you know, just within yourself, whoever's going to be talking to your children and just kind of thinking about the messages that you want to convey.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's really important to just understand, you know, personally, what are my values? Where do I stand on this before I begin discussing it with my kids? And especially as a couple, because you may differ a little and you may want to know what each other wants your children to understand.
And along those lines, too, we're obviously talking about sexuality, but this goes into dating. How old do you want your children to be when they're dating? What kind of, you know, interactions do you want them to have with with other youth their age? What is appropriate? What is not? You know, there are really just a lot of areas that you can explore and try to define, you know, in terms, again, of your values.
Yeah, definitely. So then back to that same question again, how do we start? So I guess often it starts with a child asking a question, right?
Yes. So that's the first one is values. I'm going to slow down.
Okay, you take one.
Sorry. And then the second part I would really recommend along with those values is becoming comfortable yourself talking about sexuality.
Definitely.
Do you know anatomically correct names? And can you say them without blushing or becoming too uncomfortable? One of the things that I often do when I'm speaking in groups with adults is that I'll play a fun game where I put lots of sexually correct and anatomically correct names. I'll just write them out on cards and I make the adults say them, describe what it is, you know, use it in a sentence, whatever. So, I mean, really it's about being comfortable with words like penis, vagina, vulva, orgasm, masturbation, clitoris. I could go on and on. I mean, but being able to know what those are, be able to, you know, talk about it and be comfortable talking about it. All right, so once you're comfortable saying all of the fun sexual anatomy words, it would also be important to get some good, accurate description about sexual functioning, those kind of things. Just some basics so that you have an understanding if your children are asking you certain questions. Sorry, I keep putting you off. Now finally talk about when to start talking with the children. You can start talking with your children about sex pretty much as soon as they're born. Really, those conversations about sexuality and our bodies start even before our children are verbal. You know, they are curious, and part of their developmental process is trying to understand their bodies and what their bodies do. And so, you know, again, really, even just at young ages, you can teach things, you know, accurate names for their body parts. You know, kind of talk about
where babies come from.
That's always
a question little kids ask. How did that baby get in your tummy?
Yeah. And I always recommend give simple answers, answer their questions, mm-hmm. but don't get into a long discussion at 4 years old about erections, orgasms, sexual pleasure, all of those kind of things. Those can be discussions that can be saved for a little bit older mm-hmm. when they can understand more developmentally. But I think if you start out simply and answer just little by little, if they have more questions, then you can go in and keep answering their questions rather than a long, verbose answer.
Yeah. I think also along with that, it's really important to teach kids, you know, about the safety issues with their bodies mm-hmm. and protection and the types of problems that could come up so that they're aware of abuse or things that could happen to them.
Yeah, that's really important, is to help them understand, you know, what their personal boundaries, talking about good touch, bad touch, mm-hmm. however you want to teach that to them. And again, that I think coincides really well with being able to talk about accurate names for their body parts, mm-hmm. because, you know, if a child comes in, it's like, well, so-and-so touched my hee-haw. I mean, you might not necessarily know what it is. And it's like, well, don't let anybody ever touch your hee-haw or your flower or whatever. I mean, really, that creates a whole lot of confusion. It's like, well, I have a hee-haw and Billy has a hoo-hoo. And I mean, all of a sudden it gets into, you know, this pretty confusing place for a lot of children. And so, you know, again, if we can teach them accurate names, that's extremely beneficial. And, you know, heaven forbid anything ever happened to our children and they have to, you know, talk about what has happened to them, it's important for them to understand the names of those body parts so that they can describe those things accurately.
Yeah, definitely. So along with kind of the mixed messages that we receive from media or the negative messages we receive, what kind of miseducation can children receive?
Well, this is one that I love. This keeps me in business, folks. unfortunately, parents can be a huge source of sexual miseducation. Most parents are well-meaning, but because of discomfort or lack of understanding or education themselves, the messages that they're teaching their children can be just as negative as the messages that the media is teaching. I often see things or the messages, I kind of put it into kind of these three areas, which is don't talk about it, don't think about it, don't do it, you know, kind of a thing. And sometimes we teach that with just don't have sex and don't think about it. And we're not really going to talk about it a whole lot. And if we do, we're going to talk about STDs and pregnancies and all of those
the
kind
negatives.
Of things, all of the negative. Mm-hmm. And yet if we approach it from a values based, we can say, okay, this is why sex is so important to us. This is why, you know, we want to wait until this time, whether it's in a committed relationship or at a certain age or in marriage, again, whatever corresponds to your values, but really being able to teach that to them so that they're not just going based on what the media teaches them. And again, watch as much as you can any of the negative messages. I can't tell you how many parents of adults will teach some of the worst things, and it can have an impact on their children and even on adults, and most certainly on children.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so we touched a little bit on what to teach children, but I'd kind of like to know if you have some guidelines for, you know, the different ages. What do you teach when they're little or as opposed to a 12-year-old?
Yeah, for sure. We start out talking a little bit about just being able to even start at a young age. Mm-hmm. 0 to 4, we kind of hit on that where we're talking about body parts and understanding personal boundaries and where babies come from and all of that. As they get a little bit older, I would say from maybe ages 4 to 6, it's important to help them, you know, understand that their bodies are going to change as they get older. Mm-hmm. Just like their hair gets longer, their fingers get longer, their bodies are going to change, and that's an important and normal part of their human development. And so that they're kind of aware of those changes. You know, again, you can provide simple explanations about how babies grow in their mother's wombs and the mm-hmm. process of birth, those kind of things.
Why again, boys and girls' bodies look different.
Why boys and girls' bodies look different. Again, give them those correct names for their body parts. Continue to talk to them about personal boundaries. You know, a lot of times this is where kids may not always be right there by your side. From 4 to 6 years old. You know, again, I know this is a homeschooling podcast, but this is an age where a lot of kids go to school, but whether in church groups or, you know,
friends' homes,
again, it's important to help them understand the personal boundaries so that, you know, and I think to understand that other people have boundaries too, and not to cross those boundaries and also not to, you know, to help them understand that other people shouldn't be crossing boundaries mm-hmm. with them. Mm-hmm. You know, again, there's a lot of times where it's pretty normal for there to be some exploration, you know, or something like that. But again, in the day and age that we live in, we just want to try to be careful with that because a lot of people have a tendency to get pretty anxious about it. And so that discussion of personal boundaries can be really helpful. Give them simple answers to their questions about their body and how their body functions. Hopefully at this age, your kids are potty trained, but you know, even if you go back to, you know, 2-3 years old, that's a great time to talk about, you know, their bodies and how their body functions and how those functions are a wonderful part of life.
Yeah, definitely. So then you come into what, 7 to 12 year olds, and there's going to be puberty that it might be beginning during this stage. So need to talk about those things. Definitely.
Yeah. This is a great time to talk with your kids in more detail about sexuality. The younger you do it, probably the better, but you know your children, some of them have more questions or want to understand more than others.
It's just funny story along this. When my kids started to read, they would look under the bathroom sink and say, "Mom, what's a tampon?" And so, you know, those kinds of questions are going to come up with your kids. Once they're understanding more and reading more, they're going to be able to see more and wonder about more things as well.
Yeah. And so, you know, again, it's a great time to take every opportunity you can to talk with them and help them understand that. And the more that you do it, the more comfortable you'll become. And so it's really good. Again, ages 7 to 12, we're looking at things like what to expect and do when their bodies go through puberty. They may not, you know, be through puberty at age 7, but some girls can start puberty and having their periods and menstrual cycles at 8 or 9 years old, mm-hmm. and some, you know, are a little bit longer. And so helping them understand, you know, what's going to happen in the future with their bodies. For young men, you need to talk about wet dreams or nocturnal emissions so that they don't feel like something is wrong with them when they have those, and, you know, and what they can do and how you want them to take care of that. We can start talking about sexuality, reproduction, childbirth, pregnancy, those kind of things, and even kind of start talking to them about sexual activity, and without like really getting scary and trying to scare them out of things, help them understand the risks of sexual activity as well. That, you know, they're, you know, pregnancy, sexually transmitted infections and diseases are something that can come, again, if they're not aligned with their values.
Yeah, and this is, I remember a lot of my kids at this time asking questions about people being pregnant when they weren't married, and how is that a possibility? Because I thought that could just happen when you're married. So those, you know, you're going to start getting a lot more of those kinds of questions. And I'm sure as parents, most of you already have received a lot of those. And you just need to be prepared to be comfortable giving appropriate answers. Another really important thing to discuss with your children I think at all ages, but especially during this time frame, is pornography, because they're going to probably be exposed to different things during these ages.
Yeah, the research shows that the average age that someone first comes across pornography is around 10 years old. So you definitely want to be having those conversations before they're 10 years old, helping them understand what pornography is, what to do when they come across it. There's a huge shame factor that comes in, I think, a lot of times when children come across porn. And so helping, as sad as it sounds, to kind of normalize it, mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, it's not necessarily going to be if, but when they come across those things and what they can do. And then if and when they ever come to you about that, praise them as much as you possibly can. Help them understand, you know, help them understand that they're not in trouble, because, you know, again, that shame and the secrecy is what often leads to more problematic use.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think they should understand also that, you know, if something pops up on their screen, it's not their fault. They haven't done anything wrong. They don't understand at this point. And so it's good for them to know that they're not at fault in any of this. All right. Then we come to the next phase, 12 and up, teenage years. These are kind of the critical years to really.
Well, all the years are critical.
They're all critical.
But you're,
so
you're
true,
building on it. And I think this is obviously where more specifics come in, and you want to be much more open and honest about sexuality. They're going through puberty, their bodies are changing, they're having sexual feelings, mm-hmm. they want to know how to manage these, and they're going to want information. Often what I tell parents is that you have the privilege, really, of being their source of information. Yeah. Otherwise, it may be friends, it might be the internet, it might be media, and I can promise you, you don't want any of those people being their primary source.
You don't want
source.
Google to be their primary source, for sure.
You really don't.
Yeah.
And I often tell parents, just kind of starting out, ask open-ended questions. You know, what do they know about sexuality? You don't have to go into a whole lot, you know, with them, but figure out what they know first and foremost.
I just think trying to get teenagers to be open about this topic can be a very difficult thing. And so if that dialogue starts a lot younger than the teenage years, it's going to be a lot easier to have those conversations later. But even we have a 14-year-old son, and he just doesn't want to have these conversations at all.
But it's too bad. He's having these conversations.
He is, and his dad is constantly having these conversations with him. Every time they go somewhere, I'm pretty sure he talks to them, you know, are you looking at porn? Are you, you know, just different things that he keeps that dialogue going with him all the time, so that it's not so awkward, and so that hopefully he'll come to us when he needs to.
Yeah. A few of the things that I talk with people about when kind of having that dialogue, particularly with older children, teenagers, you know, you can just start out with saying things like, you know, there are lots of messages about sex in the world, and many people or the media will try to teach you or convince you things about sex. If you have questions, you can always come to us, and we will be 100% honest with you. Now, parents, you have to be ready for that, and you have to, you know, be honest mm-hmm. with yourselves and be willing to be honest to talk about whatever it is that they're wanting to talk about. I tell parents to, you know, to tell their youth that, you know, you might feel a little uncomfortable, and we understand that this topic may be uncomfortable, but we will work together to make this as comfortable as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's fun to have a little bit of humor in there and joke around it. Often when I do presentations, and maybe I have too much humor in my presentations, but I like to try to make it fun. Sex is fun. I think talking about sex should be fun. Mm-hmm. And so, and then finally, I tell parents that because there are so many inappropriate messages about sex, we want you to talk with us so that we can teach you the truth. And that's really the message that you want to get across, is that, again, with all of those messages, we want to be the source of truth mm-hmm. and in your lives. And it's okay to come and talk with us about it.
Yeah. I also think at this stage, it's really important to help them understand why sex is good. You know, we've given them a lot of shouldn't be doing it, those kinds of things, but it's important for them to understand the benefits of it in a marriage and in a relationship, and the beautiful things about it as well.
Yeah. A few other things that you can teach, and I do want to kind of hit a little bit more on the positives about sexuality, but a few of the things that I think are important for for parents. Just don't even do a video with this one.
Sorry, keep going.
All kinds of technical issues, folks. But one of the important things to go over as parents too, particularly nowadays, talk to your kids about sexting. We're seeing that that is becoming more and more pervasive with the youth. And so just helping them understand the dangers that can come from sending pictures of themselves, whether with very little clothes or no clothes at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's become a big thing that I'm seeing with a lot of the youth that I'm working with. And a lot of the youth are just willing to send pictures back and forth. And now we have all of these really pornographic pictures of the youth floating around, and that's definitely dangerous in a lot of ways. And so, you know, in your discussions about pornography and those kind of things, it is good to address sexting with them as well.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for bringing that up. All right. Well, I am out of questions. Do you have any other thoughts that you want to leave before we go?
More than anything, just be positive. You know, again, sexuality is a wonderful thing. It's a great gift that we have. It's wonderful for relationships. It has so many benefits physically. It has so many benefits emotionally, mentally, in terms of the relationship, and even spiritually. There are so many benefits that can come. And so if we share those messages with our children, that's going to be a much more powerful and positive educator than just all of the negative, the shaming, mm-hmm. the fear-based. So I feel like if we could teach those values and teach the youth why it's so important, why it's so great, and why we want to make sure we're doing it in the right context,
mm-hmm.
again, according to our values, then it becomes a much more powerful experience. And I think that can help them more, a lot more than just the fear-based tactics keep them from having sex.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time and for joining me today. I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to Rich talk. And you can, if you are local, you can find him at his counseling office here. I can put that information if you want me to, or if not, we'll see. I don't know. But
we can put information, at least just to contact
me. Yeah, his contact information, if you'd like to learn more about his practice, I can put that in our show notes for you. But he's amazing, and I hope this has been beneficial for you as parents. And feel free to ask us any questions and leave us any comments on this. And we will talk to you again next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.